Today's daf is Brachos daf Chav Zayin. We left off daf Chav Vav and Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page at the two das. Just one or two quick points from yesterday, just to finish up some of the issues we were discussing yesterday. So we had mentioned that if a person doesn't daven on the top of Chav Vav and Beis, we mentioned that if a person doesn't daven Mincha on Erev Shabbos, they could daven twice on Shabbos, two Shabbos Shmona Esrei on Shabbos, and if you don't daven Mincha on Shabbos, you could daven two weekday Shmona Esrei on Motzai Shabbos. And the idea is that it's a Tefillas Tashlumin even from one day to the next, even though it's not even the same Shmona Esrei. Tosos discusses the following case. What if a person misses Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, and then he's going to daven on Motzai Rosh Chodesh, on the Marv that night when it's no longer Rosh Chodesh? So what's the problem? Not that he misses Mincha, I'm sorry. He's daven Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, but he left at Yal V'Yavo. And the halacha is, if you leave at Yal V'Yavo, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But he didn't catch himself in time. At the time he realized it was already Mariv time. So should that person say two Marivs? On the one hand, you would say, well, of course he should say two Marivs. He didn't daven Mincha. But on the other hand, he did daven Mincha. What was the problem with his Mincha? That it didn't have a Yal V'Yavo. So what's he going to do? He's going to make it up with a Mariv that doesn't have Yal V'Yavo. So what's he going to be gaining by saying a new Shmona Esrei? So Tos quotes two deos about that issue. He writes, Rabbeinu Yehuda, Im tov lo hizker Rosh Chodesh b'mincha lo yispalel od b'layla, delom yispalel od, arei kvar yispalel kol tfilas ha-mincha mibod yom, levad Rosh Chodesh, shalo yizkir. You already said that old Shmona Esrei except for Yal V'Yavo. So ein marviach klum, you're not going to gain anything by davening on Motzai Rosh Chodesh. And he says, it's not like forgetting Mincha on Shabbos where you daven a weekday Shmona Esrei twice on Motzai Shabbos, because over there, lowest palal klal, over there you haven't davened at all on Shabbos, so you're making something up by davening a Shmona Esrei on Motzai Shabbos, but over here you have davened, you just forgot Yal V'Yavo. And then he quotes Mir Barav Alfis lo mashma came, da filu echadena marviach klum masuch lispal pamacheres, that the Rif disagrees, and the Rif says that even if you just forgot Yal V'Yavo at Mincha, that you still have to daven again. And apparently it's a fundamental machlokes about what the status of a tefillah on Rosh Chodesh without Yal V'Yavo is, of tefillah Shachris or Mincha without Yal V'Yavo. Is it considered that it's not a tefillah at all, or is it considered that it's a tefillah but you missed your chiyuv of Yal V'Yavo, and the chiyuv of Yal V'Yavo is enough to require davening again, but you have been yotzei mitzvah of tefillah, it's just that you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yal V'Yavo? That seems to be the nature of this machlokas. And the other quick issue I wanted to point out is that we have a machlokas in the Gemara whether Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina says tefillos k'neged tefillos avos tiknum. Rabbi Shimon Levi says tefillos k'neged tamidim tiknum. And the Gemara had said that even if you hold it's avos tiknum, there's got to be some element of carbon, because otherwise, what do you do with the musaf? Musaf has no av, but it does, so it's obviously related to a carbon. On the flip side, Rabbi Yashav points out in his shiurim that bizman shabizim shayikayim, and they actually had carbonos, they still davened all the tefillos. So that gives you some sense that it's more than just keneged karbanos that we have the tefillos, meaning, or keneged karbanos doesn't mean in place of karbanos. Keneged karbanos means we daven klape the amount of times that we have karbanos. They formatted it based on the karbanos, but not necessarily as a zecher to the karbanos. And Rav Yashav has several rayos that they clearly daven these tefillos even bezman shabbos hamikdash hayakayim. One of the rayos is tainis daf yura mer aleph, that the zman she'elas geshamim is on Zion Mar Cheshvan. Why? Kidei she'agia achron shabi Yisrael in Ahar Pras. We wanted to give everyone time to get home so that they shouldn't have to deal with the rain on their way home from being Ol L'Regel. The Ol L'Regelim shouldn't have problems. So they were Ol L'Regel to what? To the Beis HaMikdash. And still, we're talking about when we're maskir she'elas geshamim. She'elas geshamim is a din tefillah, it's a din Shmon Esrei. So obviously they were davening Shmon Esrei even bizman she'beis HaMikdash hayakayim. So let's pick up in the Gemara now, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yudah Marad Abra Shos. Rabbi Yudah said in the Mishnah that the zman of tefillah shachris is until 4 hours into the day. So what does that mean until? Whenever you say ad, we always have that question. Does it mean up until and including, or does it mean up until and not including? Meaning, once the 4th hour starts, is it too late, or is it only once the 5th hour starts that it's too late? Tashma, Rabbi Yudah Omer ad plaga mincha. So let's take a look at what Rabbi Yudah says at other points in the Mishnah when he uses the term ad, and if we're able to figure out what ad means over there, we could then figure out that ad must mean the same over here. So Rabbi Yudah, when he talks about davening mincha, he says it's ad plaga mincha. So yam bishlama ad v'lo ad b'chlal, hayinu dika ben Rabbi Yudah l'rabbanon. If you hold ad means up until and not including. So I understand very well that the Rabban and Rabbi disagree as to when the latest time daven mincha is. Rabban say until Shkia. Rabbi says ad plaga mincha, but not including plaga mincha. We're assuming now that plag means that last hour and a quarter of the day. So Rabbi says up until that last hour and a quarter, but not including that last hour and a quarter of the day. So you see, there's a difference between Rabbi the Shita and the Rabban Shita. Eliyam the Ad v'Ad b'chlal, but if you hold Ad v'Ad b'chlal, so Rabbi that says Ad plaga mincha means up until and including the last hour and a quarter of the day, which is the same thing as saying up until Shkia. So then Rabbi Yudai and Rabban, Rabbi the saying the same thing as the Rabban. The Rabban also said Shkia. So Elamai. So what is the other alternative? Ad velo ad b'chal, to say that ad means velo ad b'chal, but then we're going to run into another problem later on in the Mishnah. Ema seifa, the Mishnah goes on to say, v'sham musaf in kol hayom, Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad sheva shos, that you could daven musaf all day. Rabbi Yehuda says ad until 7 hours of the day. Now, if we're going to say ad means velo ad b'chal, that really means you can only daven musaf until chatzos. You cannot daven through 7 hours. Until 7 hours would be v'lo ad b'chal, until chatzos. What's the problem with saying that? Why is that not possible to say? V'tanya, we have a b'raisa. Let's say you have two tefillos that it's the zman to daven them right now, musaf and mincha, it's the zman for both at the same time. So Tanakhama says, daven mincha first because mincha is more tadir than musaf. Musaf you only have on special days, mincha you have every day, tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem. Rabbi Yehuda omer, mispal shel musaf v'achach shel mincha, shezu overes v'zueinu overes. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, daven the one that you're going to lose the opportunity to daven first. So you're going to lose out on the opportunity to daven musaf before you lose the opportunity to daven mincha, because the zman is an earlier zman. So daven musaf and then daven mincha. So iam, but the point is, the very case suggests that there is some time during the day where you could daven both mincha and musaf. What's the earliest time to daven mincha? It's a half hour after chatzos. So for Rabbi Yehuda means ad, velo ad bichlal, that you could daven up until the seventh hour, but not including the seventh hour, that would mean only until chatzos. So there is no time where there's an overlap. So yam bishlama, and the Gemara spells it out. Yam bishlama ad v'ad bichlal, hainu d'mishkach su shtei tefilos ba'dei adati. If Rabbi Yehuda means up until 7 hours and including the seventh hour, so very good. You have a time where the mincha and musaf are simultaneous. Eli'i amrit ad v'lo ad b'chlal, but if you say ad v'lo ad b'chlal, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can only daven musaf until the end of the sixth hour. Hechi mishkachas lu shtei tefilos ba'dei adadi. Where do you ever have musaf and mincha at the same time? So kimin dasi l'shal mincha, as l'shal musafin. If it's the time of mincha, then it's obviously no longer the time of musaf. Elamai. So what do we want to say? Ad v'ad b'chlal. So what's the alternative to say ad v'ad b'chlal? The Rabbi Yehuda holds you could daven musaf through the seventh hour, but then kasher reisha. But then we're stuck back with our original question that when Rabbi Yehuda says you could daven mincha until plaga mincha, so he's saying the same thing as the Rabbanon, because ad v'ad b'chlal would mean until the full second half of the plag, which would mean until shkia. So ma'ika ben Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanon stuck with that kasha. Says the Gemara, no, we're misunderstanding what ad plaga mincha means. What does plaga means? A half. So what is plaga mincha? Meaning we take halfway between the time of mincha gedol, of mincha katana and shkia. So plaga mincha means one of those halves. We're assuming it meant the second of those halves, right? That mincha katana is 9.5 hours into the day. Shkia is when the full 12 hours are over. So plaga mincha is we split that 2.5 hour time frame into two sets of an hour and a quarter, and 10 3/4 hour into the day is where we make that division. So we're assuming that when Rabbi Yehuda talks about plaga mincha, he's talking about the second half of that division, which takes you from 10 3/4 hour until shkia. No, says the Gemara, we're wrong. Misaver dai plag mincha plag achrona ka'amar, plag rishona ka'amar. When Rabbi Yehuda says plag ha-mincha, he means the first half of that split, which would mean between mincha ketana and 10 3/4 hours into the day. So he says, yes, say daven mincha until plag ha-mincha and including plag ha-mincha, including which plag? The first plag, the first half, which means up until 10 3/4 into the day. V'achi ka'amar, emas nafek plag rishona v'ayil plag achrona mechinaf yiral. When does the first half end and the second half begin? When 10 3/4 hours of the day are gone. Amar of Nachum Nafan Anami Tanin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Heir Chamisha Dvarim. He says, yeah, we have support for this because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava in the Mishnah, in Idios, was made five things. Now, in general, these five things will have absolutely nothing to do with each other. All that they have in common is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said all of them. That's not unusual for Maseches Idios. All of Maseches Idios is written that day. The Maseches Idios was written in a single day when all of the Chacham got together in Keren B'Yavna and they said, if you think you have a Mesorah of something of a halacha that might be forgotten, get up today and tell everybody. So each Tana took their turn. This one was made, I remember these three halachas that nobody else knows. I remember these five halachas. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was made, that's why it's idios. It's all eduyos. It's all edus of a mesorah that they have. So he's made five things that have nothing to do with each other, but one of them is germane to our topic. So number one, Shem Manan HaSukatana. The first thing he was made is Yivam HaSugya. And that's why that's what makes Maseches Idios so much fun. It's really a Shas Katan. They call Ksuvas Shas Katan. Edios is the real Shas Katan. It takes you with all Shishta Sidre Mishnah. So number one is Manan HaSukatana, which is Sugya Yivamus, which tells us there's something called Miyun. Miyun is that if Rashi goes through the whole description over here, he doesn't do this every time it quotes Miyun, but it's the first time in Shas we're talking about Miyun. Meaning is that if normally a girl is a katana, her father can marry her off, midaraisa, can give her to somebody else, be makabel kiddushin for her. But let's say she doesn't have a father, so the rabbanon were misakin that her mother and her brother midrabbanon have the right to marry her off because it's only a kiddushin midrabbanon. She could do miyun. She could decide I want to walk away from this marriage, and she can walk away without a get because they weren't really married midaraisa. What if you have the following situation: two brothers marry two sisters. One of the sisters is a ketana who the guy married through the mother and brother. It was a kiddushin midrabanan. The other sister is a gedola, and the brother married, Reuven marries the older sister, and has a full kiddushin daraisa. Shimon has a kiddushin midrabanan with the younger sister. Then Reuven dies. So now the halachas of Yibum kick in. Shimon has to do Yibum with Reuven's wife. Problem is, Shimon is married, sort of, not really, but midrabanan married to Reuven's wife's sister. So he can't do Yibum so long as he's still married to her. But at the same time, he can't stay married to her because he has a chiv of Yibum midaraisa. He's only, his marriage sure is only drabanan. So the first thing we learn is Mimanan Asakatana. We tell the younger sister, you must do Miyun. Get rid of this marriage, make this marriage go away, and that will free up Shimon to do Yibum. Second, Vishamasina. If a woman needs to get remarried because her husband is lost and we're not sure if he's dead or not, a single witness to tell us that he's dead is enough to allow her to get remarried. Third, that not only, even though most of the Mishnayis about animals killing people and the psukim are about shar haniskal, you kill the shar, it's always about an ox, but even a tarnagol can kill somebody and get skila for killing somebody. And fourth, that when you have wine that's 40 days old, so that's already no longer yayin migi, so it's no longer grape juice, it already has din of yayin, and therefore it's roy to be menasech on the mizbech. And the fifth, and one that's important for us, that the talmud shel shachar can be brought in the fourth hour of the day. So you see that when Rabbi Yehuda says that you could daven shachris until 4 hours, he doesn't mean through 3 hours, but the fourth hour is too late. No, he holds ad viad b'chlal. Shema minah, ad viad b'chlal, shema minah. If you notice, the Gilyon HaShas, the little marker for the Gilyon HaShas, points you to, Rabbi Kiveger points you to a Rashi in Mishle in Perek Lamed Aleph in Mishle. It's a very unusual maramakom, a Rashi on Mishle. So what does Rashi on Mishle say? What is this edus about the Tamid Shel Shachar that was Nikrav Ba'arba Shos? So Rashi writes over there, and Rabbeinu Yonah has a slight variation of it over here in the back of the Gemara, that this is referring to the one time when Shlomo HaMelech got married to the Bas Paro, which was a tragic day for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nunva, in the last daf of Bamei Behema Yotza, talks about how terrible that was for Klal Yisrael when Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro, that was the day that Malach Gavriel came and laid the foundations for Krach Shel Romi. That's when the Roman Empire gained a foothold on the day that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro. It was a terrible day. But one of the things that happened is he overslept the next morning. And he had the keys to the Beis HaMikdash under his pillow. So by the time he woke up, it was already the fourth hour of the day. Normally, we learned in Maseches Tamid, they were so quick to make sure, get everybody up early and get things moving in the Beis HaMikdash, and they'd get the Tamid done early, but they couldn't get in, because Shlomo HaMelech had the key. So they couldn't actually be makrav the Tamid until the fourth hour of the day that year, and his mother gave him quite a musr shmuz for causing all of Klal Yisrael to wait for him. So the point is, though, that's what they're being made about, according to Rashi. Now, that's what Rabbi Kivager is pointing to. Now, why does... okay, good. So that was the story that happened. The Ravid in his Perush on Edios writes that this Edos that the of the Tamid must have been Mipia Shmua Hayid Velo Mipi Maisa. The Ravid says no, it's not referring to any particular story that ever happened. It can't be. If it was about some story that happened that they were makrav in the fourth hour of the day, then it's not a good raya at all to anything. Because we're trying to prove when the latest man is to daven shachris, right? So we look for the latest man to bring the karmat tamid. But guess what? If they brought the karmat tamid in the fourth hour of the day, because that's when Shlomo HaMelech woke up, well, maybe if he would have woken up in the fifth hour, they would have brought it in the fifth hour. Maybe if he would have woken up in the sixth hour, they would have brought it then. You haven't proven anything. You can only prove something if this is not an edus on a story, but an edus on a halacha, that the halacha was that it was arba shos. And notice Rashi over here says about this edus barba shos visulo. The edus was visulo and not beyond arba shos, because otherwise it's not a good edus at all. It's only a good edus if you tell me that it goes up until 4 hours, but no further than that. Amar Rav Kahana alach Rav Yehuda hol tnan b'chirasa kavase. So Rav Kahana says that we follow Rav Yehuda because we have a mission edios like him, and we always like to follow the mishnayos in edios. It's b'chirasa, it's the choicest of mesechtas. V'al tamid shel shachar shekar b'arba shos, and we say the tamid shel shachar is brought 4 hours into the day. So man tana lahad tnan v'chama shemesh v'namas b'arba shos. Who's the one that says that taught that when the pasuk tells us that when the sun became hot, that's when the man would melt, that it was ba'arba shos. Atom ba'arba shos, or we'll b'shei shos. Do we know, is it 4 hours or is it 6 hours? K'shu'omer, k'chom hayom, hare shei shos amur. When it says k'chom hayom, that's 6 hours. Hamani mekayim v'cham ha-shemesh v'namas. What's v'cham ha-shemesh when the sun was heating up? Ba'arba shos, that must be 4 hours. Chom hayom is the ultimate heat of the day, that's 6 hours. The sun heating up is in the 4 hours. So who could possibly be the author of that Mishnah? Money. Who could it possibly be? Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan. Rashi adds an important point on the third very wide line. Money hada mashma da'ar b'lav boker hu. Da'ksiv v'yuk to asu b'boker b'boker v'cham ha-shemesh v'namas. Meaning, the implication of the pasuk is that the fourth hour of the day is no longer morning. Because it says that they would pick the man all morning, and then v'cham ha-shemesh, when v'cham ha-shemesh came, that's when the man would spoil. But the point is that was no longer morning. They would pick all morning. So when this Mishnah identifies the time of the spoilage as the fourth hour, it's identifying the fourth hour as no longer morning. So who could that be like? It doesn't seem like Rabbi Yehuda, nor does it seem to be going like the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda includes the fourth hour in morning. He says, remember, we just concluded Adviad Bechlal, that the fourth hour, including the fourth hour, up until far as including the fourth hour, is all morning. And according to the Rabbanan, you're not even close. According to the Rabbanan, all the way until Chatzos is considered morning. So who's the one that says that the fourth hour, when the man melted, is no longer morning? Says the Gemara, Ibai Seim Rabbi Yehuda, Ibai Seim Rabbanan. It could be Rabbi Yehuda, it could be the Rabbanan. Ibai Seim Rabbanan, Amakra, Baboker, Baboker, Chalkei Lushnei Bekarim. Pasuk says Baboker, Baboker twice, which teaches you not that the man melted when it was no longer morning, but the man melted when it was no longer the first half of morning. Baboker, baboker means first half of morning, second half of morning. First half of morning is when you would pick the man. Second half of morning was when it would spoil. So the Rabbanan would say, yes, up until Chatzos is morning. Split that into two halves. That means the first 3 hours are the first half of morning. And then after that, in the fourth hour, it's already time for the man to spoil. Or Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, the extra boker doesn't tell you to split morning into two parts. But what it tells you is that there's an earlier part of morning. That earlier part tells you that even though morning only ends after 4 hours, that second Baboker tells you the early morning, 1 hour earlier before that. Not to split it into half, but to just be makdim one hour. So according to either one, the fourth hour may no longer be considered the Boker that the Pasuk is talking about of picking the man. But everyone at the end of the day agrees that when the sun heats up, that's referring to Arba Shos. My mashma, where do you see that it refers to Arba Shos? What is the hour that in the sun it's very hot, but in the shade it's still cool, that it hasn't been so hot outside that even in the shade it's hot? That's 4 hours into the day. Once you get past the fourth hour, then it's already hot even in the shade. Tfilas ha-mincha ad ha-erev. The Mishnah then went on to say, you could have a mincha up until erev. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only up until plaga mincha. So when it came to the Zman for Shachris, we said we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because there's a Mishnah Edios like Rabbi Yehuda. Hachamai. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the Zman of mincha as well? So ishtik v'lam v'lamidi. He didn't say anything. If you recall, we had a discussion about, do you paskin like if you're passing like Shmuel in one case, does it mean you're going to pass like Shmuel in the other case? And the Gemara said, what? You think you're always going to pass like the same, everything single Amora says? Now you have to judge each of his statements. But over here, it's a little closer. Over here, they're both about Zmanei Tefillah, which in some way, the Zmanei Tefillah are usually connected to each other. So should we say we pass like Rabbi Yehuda about the Zman of Shachris, and Mele means we have to pass like him about the Zman of Mincha as well? So he didn't answer. He didn't say anything. Amrav Chisson, Nechzi Anan. So he says, okay, let's analyze. Let's look at Maisa Rav. We'll look at what people have done, and we'll be able to tell what the halacha is. Mita Rav Masli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Mimod Yom Shraimin Alach Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that Rav would make Shabbos early, and he would daven the Friday night Shemon Esrei when it was still really Erev Shabbos. So you see that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, that until Plag HaMincha, when it was still Od Yom, you could daven Mincha, but after that, it's already time for Mariv. Because otherwise, how could you daven Mariv before Shkia? Says Gemara, no, Adarabba, I'll bring you another Raya. Mid Rav Huna v'Rabbanan Lov Matziad Urta, Shema Minayin Alach Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that Rav Huna and the Rabbanan would, and everybody else would only daven after nightfall, after Shkia on Friday night, isn't that a Raya that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to daven earlier than Shkia? So the Kasha Tzlacha asks, wait a second, just because they daven later, it's a Raya that you're not allowed to daven earlier? Maybe they daven, Rabbi Yehuda agrees you're allowed to daven after Shkia. Rabbi Yehuda says just the earliest time for Mariv is Plag. So you're allowed to daven Mariv as early as Plag HaMincha, but he never says that that you're not allowed to daven after. Of course you're allowed to daven after Shkia. That's certainly a Kasha's man for Mariv. You could daven all night Mariv. So how do you prove anything from the fact that they happen to have daven later? So says the Tzlach, no, but on Erev Shabbos there's a competing principle, there's a competing factor, and that is Tosefes Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to be Mosef Mechol Al HaKodesh. So there's no way the Rabbanon would have never davened early if it's possible to daven early, because they at some point they would have tried to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos in the best possible way. So if it's kosher to daven Mariv from Plag HaMincha, they would have done it at some point to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Magen Avram writes in some Reish Samach Zayin Sifkat Aleph that on Erev Shabbos it's better to daven mibod yom for another reason. He says because Tfilas Arvis is nitkena keneged evarim upadarim. What's Mariv? Keneged Mariv is keneged the burning of the fats and the limbs that are burnt on the mizbeach all night. So on Shabbos the halacha is you're only allowed to bring karbanos of Shabbos on the mizbeach on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to bring leftovers of Friday's karbanos on the mizbeach on Shabbos. So all the burning of the Evarim Abdarim of Friday's Karbanos had to have been done before nightfall. And therefore, it's dafkin extra kiyum in Tfilas Arvis Keneged, the Evarim Abdarim, to daven Mariv on Friday night early, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, this is all within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that the Iker Zman is after Plag HaMincha. So, but this obviously would not work according to the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, it's not the Zman yet, so you can't do it. But at least according to Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rav Yashiv points out in the Tshuva, in Kovitz Tshuva's Chelik Aleph, Simchav Gimel, that Po Be'eretz HaKodesh, in Eretz Yisrael, not here, there, in Eretz Yisrael, HaMinag HaMakubal Ben Rov Ashkenazim, Shalol Lispal Arvis Be'erev Shabbos Muktam, that they never daven early Mariv on Friday night, that you don't make early Shabbos. And he writes, V'cheinani Moro Ubala Sho'alim Osi, Ki Yesh Lasos Kol Titztigi Lol Lispal Lefnei Azman, that's what he tells everybody who asks him, do whatever you can, don't make early Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh beglal kama akuli upshuri sheyesh b'zeh. This minhag developed because making early Shabbos is fraught with a whole bunch of halachic concerns. That's all he writes. He doesn't say what they are. Imlo b'mikrum yuchad, unless you have some special reason to make early Shabbos, it's fraught with halachic concerns. So in the shiurim it says that they asked him, ma'i akuli upshuri sheyesh karav b'chuvaso. In that shuvah, what are we talking about? What halachic concerns? So he says off the top of my head, Kriya Shema Shalom Bizmana. You're going to be saying Kriya Shema early, and the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch Reish Lamed Esef Alf, that if you read Kriya Shema before Tzitzis Chavim, you have to read Kriya Shema again later on. That's Meikar Adin. That's not a Chumrah. That's the din of Kriya Shema. So you're going to be reading Kriya Shema early, you're going to have to remember to say it later on. Number two, Tfila Shalom Bizman. You're really davening Mariv, not in the ideal time. Even though we're going to see soon in the Gemara, well, we might as well read the line right now. Hashad Dalitmer Hilch Salot Kamar Velo Kamar. David Kamar. David Kamar Ravid, since we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda nor like the Rabbanan, you could choose whichever shita you want. So how could you say it's not the Zman of Tefillah when you daven Marav after Plag? Yeah, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should choose one shita and stick with it for life. Don't daven Plag at some points in the week and Shkia at other points in the week. So if you're a Shkia person in general and you daven Mincha up until Shkia in general, to daven Marav on Friday night after Plag before Shkia is somewhat questionable, right? It's not ideal. Even though there are Rishonim that are Mekel, it's not ideal. Another problem, he says, Kiddush Shalom Bizman. Kiddush is supposed to be, is according to the Rabbanon at least, that there's no Plag HaMincha doesn't mean anything, so you can't be Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia, and therefore you can't make Kiddush before Shkia. So, it wouldn't even be Tosefet Shabbos from Plag HaMincha, possibly, according to the Rabbanon. Another problem, and this one is Halach LeMaaseh, if Shechter spoke about it, or didn't speak about it, but warned me about it when he came here for Shabbos, is Su'ud HaShabbos Shalom Bizman. Where do we learn the Chivim Suda Shabbos? We learn Shalosh Sudos, Achlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, from the word Hayom, that you need to have three Sudos on Hayom, on the day that's actually Yom Shabbos itself, which is only after Teis HaKochavim. So when you make an early Shabbos, you have to be Machmir to eat at least a Kazayis of Challah or something after Teis HaKochavim. Well, very often you're done with your meal and you're already sleeping when you make an early Shabbos by the time Teis HaKochavim rolls around. So that's another problem, Rav Yashar says. That's why the Minhag was in Eretz Yisrael. They never did this. But anyway, at the end of the day, the Gemara Paskins over here, David Kamar Ravid, David Kamar Ravid, you could do whichever Shita you want. So the Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned, says you should ideally pick one, unless it's a Shas Adchak, that you stick with for the rest of, you know, that you stick with always. Mishra Brura says that it's that even if you don't hold that you have to pick one that you stick with forever, you certainly can't take both Shitos on the same night. Meaning, you can't daven Mincha after Plag and then daven Marav before Shkia. That's a Tarti Desasri Ba'os Laila, that's really not something that we look favorably upon. That's something that a person is not supposed to do. It's a big avla that for whatever reason, the minhag developed in America. I don't know if it's in other countries, but in America at least, the minhag developed that people during the summertime make an early Shabbos, and the way they do it, because it's easier to make a shul calendar that way, is my only guess, because we adjust the time beginning of Shabbos the rest of the year, we don't have a problem with it, but it's easier to make a shul calendar that way. It's more convenient for people to remember. They just decide on 7 o'clock. So they pick the one Zman that's almost always after Plag and before Shkia. It's like the worst possible. If they would have just said, you know, I don't know, 6:30, at least sometimes they'd get. But they pick 7 o'clock. So that's it's an avla. It's not really so appropriate. The posts can work on it. They try to figure out some sort of heterim. Not so easy. Rav Ikla the Beit Geneva. Back in the morning, Rav went to the house of Geneva. Geneva was the name of an Amora. Vitzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. And he davened Shabbos Tfila when it was still light outside on Friday afternoon. And Rabbi Yirmiyah Barabba was davening behind Rav. And Rav finished and wouldn't stop the tefillah of Rabbi Yirmiyah. He wouldn't take the steps back to interrupt the tefillah of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Shramin Atlas, we see three things over here. Shramin Amispaladim Shal Shabbos, Barav Shabbos. Number one, we see that you're allowed to daven Marav early on Friday night. Second thing is, you see that a Talmud is allowed to daven behind his Rebbe. And we also see that you're not supposed to walk in front of somebody who's davening, because if you're allowed to walk in front of somebody who's davening, Rav would have had no problem taking the steps back. Now, what if you have the following situation? You have a Kohen who needs to go wash his hands for Birchus Kohanim, and the only way to get there is there are people davening there, but he has to go. He has to, or Levim have to go wash the Kohanim's hands. So Rav Yashik paskins that then it's for sure mutter. Why? Because there are two possible reasons. The Gemara doesn't give the reasons why you're not allowed to walk lav or keneged amispalvin. But in Mishabur and Simkov Beis of Kut and Tezvav and the Bir Alach over there, he gives two possible reasons. Number one is that you can be mevatel the kavana of the person that you're walking in front of. And number two, that it's considered to be mafsik between the person and the shechina. So the first reason that you're mevatel is kavana, so that's only if you don't know who it is or why someone walking by. But if all the Kohanim in the room are moving, so it's not going to be mevatel the kavana. He understands what's going on, and he's not going to have to investigate too far. The person who's davening is not going to have to investigate too much what's going on. He realizes what's going on, so it shouldn't ruin his kavana so much. Second reason that you're mafsik between the mespal and the shechina, maybe the tzarech mitzvah that's mutter to do. Why is it mutter to do the tzarech mitzvah? Because what's pshat that you're mafsik between the mespal and the shechina? It's that it's a bizayin to the shechina. Here is someone who's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine someone is talking to your father, or someone is talking to a melech, and you walk right in between the two people who are talking to each other. That's not derech eretz at all. So you're going to walk right in between the person talking to the shechina. So that's not so nice. But what if your father needs his medication, or he's thirsty and you want to get him a drink? So you come in and you stick your hand in front, right between your father and the person that he's talking. That is derech eretz. That's not disrespectful. So maybe when it's the tzarech mitzvah, when it's for the cover of the shechina, says Rav Yashiv would be mutter, and therefore he thought that it would be mutter in this situation. That you're not allowed to walk in front of somebody who's davening. Eini v'Rabbi v'Rabbi chalfi. V'Rabbi and Rabbi used to do that all the time. Rabbi No, they walked more than 4 amos away from the person. If you're beyond 4 amos, then you could walk in front of someone who's davening. But wait a second, how is Rabbi Yirmiya allowed to daven behind Rav? Didn't Rabbi Yirmiya teach us lo olam al yispalel adam lo keneged rabo velo achorei rabo? A person should not daven right next to his Rebbe, as Rashi says, because it's mara ki iluim shavim. You're making it look like you're on the same level as your Rebbe. Nor should you daven achorei rabo. You shouldn't daven behind your Rebbe. Why not? So Rashi says, nami yuarahu. That's also yuara. I can't daven in front of him, probably, because that's definitely you, or I can't daven next to him, because that makes it look the same. I can't daven behind him. What am I supposed to do? Tosfos says, Yesh mefarish shenir kemishtachav el rabo. No, the problem is not that it's you, or is that every time you bow, people aren't going to be sure. You know, some people really like their Rebbe. So every time you bow, people aren't going to be sure. Are you bowing to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or are you bowing to your Rebbe? So that doesn't look good. So you shouldn't have, that's why we don't have Rebbe pictures on the front wall of the shul. You don't want to make it look every time you bow that you're bowing to something else. So. That's why you can't daven behind your Rebbe. It's Kashan Rabbi Yirmiyah was davening behind Rav. But we mentioned further, V'tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer, HaMespal L'Achor Rabbo, someone davened behind his Rebbe, V'anosin Shalom L'Rabbo, or someone who greets his Rebbe, V'amachzer Shalom L'Rabbo, someone who responds to his Rebbe's greeting, V'acholik Al Yishivasol Shal Rabbo, someone who disagrees with his Rebbe's Piskei Halacha in his Makom, where his Rebbe is, V'omer Davar Shal Shavim Pi Rabbo, or someone who says something that he never heard from his Rebbe, Gorim L'Shechina Shetestalik Mishol, causes the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. So one of the things that causes the Shechina to leave is davening behind your Rebbe. So how is Rabbi Yirmiyah allowed to do it? Shani Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba to Talmud Chavar Abba. No, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was not a Talmud of Rav, he was a Talmud Chavar. He was a Talmud already risen to the same level. V'haydu to come to Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba l'Rav mi badalta. And that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said to Rav once when Rav davened Shabbos davening when it was still light outside on Friday. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked him, did you stop doing malacha also? Is this just a din in tefillah? Or did you start treating it like Shabbos where you stopped doing malacha? Amrlei in Badilna, and Rav says, yeah, I stopped doing malacha. So just from the way Rabbi Yirmiyah phrased the question, you see that he must have not been a Talmud, he must have been a Talmud Chaver. Why? V'lo amar mi badil mar. He didn't speak in third person. He didn't say, did mar stop doing malacha? He said, mi badalta, did you stop doing malacha? Rav Shaftel points out, this makes sense in Aramaic, and Hebrew, and Yiddish, that third person sounds like a respect. respectful term. In English, it doesn't make so much sense, because in English, it doesn't sound respectful. It sounds silly. If you go meet the president, nice to meet you, Mr. President. It's nice to meet the president. You know, he'd be like, I am the president. You know, it's not something that makes so much sense in English. He didn't like when we used to refer, everyone still did it, but he didn't like when we used to refer to him in third person. So anyway, there was one guy in the shir, I remember, used to refer to Rav Shechter for some reason as the Rav, which is a very confusing thing to do, because Rav Soloveitchik was the Rav. So he would say, what does the Rav think? He said, I don't know, I never asked the Rav about this. So he didn't like it. Anyway, Umi Badil. So the Gemara asked, wait a second, did Rav really stop doing Malach on Erev Shabbos? Vam Rabbi Yavin Pamachas Pal Rabbi Shal Shabbos Berev Shabbos V'nichnas Lamerchas V'yatzah V'shonel Lampirkin V'adayin L'chashecha. One time Rabbi davened Marav early when it was still light outside Friday afternoon. And then he went to the bathhouse, and then he gave a shir, and it still wasn't dark outside. But he went to the bathhouse, so you see that he did malacha. No, he just went in to take a shvitz. It wasn't any malacha that he was doing. He was just enjoying the steam, the leftover steam of the bathhouse. V'kodim gzeirah, and that was before the gzeirah that we mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, that you're not even allowed to be nichnas lahaziyah to the bathhouse. So, frankly, Gemara, eini v'abayi shar leil Rav Dimi bar Levi lichvuri sali, but didn't Abayi allow Rav Dimi bar Levi to smoke the baskets, which involved some sort of malacha, even though it was already... He had already davened Shabbos Mariv when it was light outside on Friday. So to Usavai, says, no, that was a case where they made a mistake. He wasn't mekabel to Sefer Shabbos at the time that he davened on purpose. He davened because he thought it was already the Zman, and then the clouds went away and he realized that it was still light outside. It just got so dark so quickly because of a storm or whatever. They made a mistake. Frankly, Marva, Tusami Hadra, just because they made a mistake, they mistakenly were Makabla Shabbos early, does that mean that you could be Choser on the Kabbalah and say that it's no longer Kabbalah Shabbos? Va'amar Avidon, Pamachas Neskashu Shemayim Ba'avim, one time it got very cloudy, Kisvurim Ha'am Lomar Chashechahu, everyone thought it's dark outside already, V'nichtus L'Besach Nesvus, Ba'alash Motsai Shabbos B'Shabbos. So everyone went into Shul and they started davening, the Motsai Shabbos davening, when it was still Shabbos. Then Nispazu, because they thought it was ready Motsai Shabbos. V'nispazu Avim Zarach. Then the clouds went away and it was sunny outside. So they asked Rebbe, what should we do? He said, no, so you davened already. You davened, it's good enough. So don't you see that even though it was a mistake, you still stick with whatever you did at the time that you made the mistake? No, shiny tzibur delom etrochinu lehu. That's because that would have involved getting the whole tzibur back together again. We don't go through we don't require that level of tircha to be matriach an entire tzibur to get back together. Just a couple of quick points over here. We said that a person who's nosing shalom l'rabo is causes the shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. I would have thought that it's a good thing to be nosing shalom l'rabo. No? Why does the Gemara assume, the Braisa assume, that it's a very bad thing? So Tosus writes, Pirish Kishar b'nei Adam, Sheinu Omer Shalom Alecha Rebbe, V'hainu Darmin, Kutei Sheilu Shalom Tamud l'rab. Tosus says it's that you don't say shalom alecha Rebbe, you just say shalom aleichem. To say shalom aleichem, like you're talking to your friend, that's no good. You have to distinguish the way you greet your Rebbe from the way you greet everybody else. Says Rabbeinu Yonah though, and daf yud chesam beis bedapei arif. No, ve'ein lo v'talmud v'haktim shalom l'rav, ela kamish yesh lo morim imenu, ve'einu yachol l'haktim lo shum dibor merov hamora. That you should never greet your Rebbe. You should be so afraid and so in awe of him that you're afraid to speak when you're in his presence. And if he speaks to you, blah, 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 you try to get some words out, but so afraid that you shouldn't even. I remember I asked Rav Shechter last year, if you had one more hour with Rav Soloveitchik, what would you do? What would you speak to him about? And Rav Shechter's wife overheard and she said, "What would he do? He would sit there schwitzing for an hour. He'd be too afraid to say anything. He was terrified of Rav Soloveitchik." Okay, so if he's that's the way a Talmud is supposed to feel about a Rebbe according to Rabbeinu Yonah. What's this other idea? Omer Davar Shloshim. Rabbah, what's so bad about that? Say things that you haven't heard. It's okay to learn things on your own. Everything has to be from your Rebbe. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, it means Ratzalomer Shloshami Menu V'Omer Oso B'Shmo. It's what I could say things that I learned on my own that I didn't hear from my Rebbe, but I better not say them in his name, my own Chidushim in the Rebbe's name. That you're not supposed to do. That's the other thing that causes the Shechina to be Mistalik in Yisrael. And that's obviously the flip side of what the Gemara Megillah says. Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro is maybe Geula Liolam Kwa causes a greater sense of Ashras Hashkina with the Geula. It's going to bring the Beis Hamikdash. It's going to bring a greater sense of Ashras Hashkina in the world. Someone who does the opposite and makes up things and says and attributes it to his Rebbe is causing the Shekhinah to leave. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara, two dots. So Amra, three lines before they get wide. Amra B'chir Barav and Rav Talish Shabbos Barav Shabbos. Rav Davin, the Shabbos davening when it was still light outside on Friday. Rabbi Yoshi Masi Shomotsoi Shabbos B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yoshi Davin Motsoi Shabbos. Davening was still light outside on Shabbos. Rav Talish Shabbos Barav Shabbos. Amra Kedush Alakos. Or Amra Kedush Alakos. Good. Rav made Shabbos early. Did he say Kiddush early also? Tashim Rav. Amra Nakam Roshul. Masalim Shabbos Barav Shabbos. Vomer Kedush Alakos. And you could say Kiddush early also. Vilksa Kavase. We said before that Rav Yashu said one of the problems of making early Shabbos is that you're saying Kiddush early. Yeah, this is talking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yashu says, but we generally hold like the Rabbanan throughout the week where we daven up until Shkia, we daven Milch up until Shkia. So that's when you run into a Kiddush problem. Rav Yoshi Amasi Shal Motsoi Shabbos B'Shabbos. Omer Avdol Alakos or Ein Omer Avdol Alakos. He daven Marav early on Motsoi Shabbos. Did he say Avdol early also or not? Tashma, Domer Avdom Roshom, follow them Shal Motsoi Shabbos B'Shabbos for Omer Avdol Alakos. And he could say Avdol Alakos. There are several Afronim that say, let's say a person is an Onain on Motsoi Shabbos. So you can't say Avdallah on Motsoi Shabbos. Some of the Achronim suggest an Eitza. Say Avdallah early. Say Avdallah before Shabbos is over. We had this Eitza for someone who had to fast, who was unable to fast on Tisha B'Av this year, let's say. Right? So they have to be Mavdil with Yayin, ideally. Right? Before they eat, they have to be Mavdil. They have to say Avdallah. So Rosh Hashanah said, the Eitza is, follow this Gemara. Say Avdallah when it's still Shabbos. Then you can Vaday be Mavdil with Yayin, as long as you do when it's still Shabbos. It's questionable, though, because, not that part, but the part about the Onein is questionable, because the Rosh in the third paragraph in Beis had a whole discussion about what an Onin does and never suggested this Eitza of just making Havdalah a little earlier. Okay. Amrav Zer, Amrav Asi, Amrav Lazar, Amrav Chanin, Amrav. Vitzan Amuzet, followed Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Shal Shabbos, Barav Shabbos. It was right next to this pillar that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, davened Shabbos davening early. Kiyasa Ula, Amrav Bitzad, Tamara, Hava, Velo Bitzad, Amun, Hava. He says he got all your details wrong. First of all, it was next to a date tree, it wasn't next to a pillar. Velo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Hava, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Hava. And he got the wrong son of Rabbi Yossi. It was Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. And it wasn't davening Shabbos davening early, it was davening Motsai Shabbos davening early. So you got all the details wrong. Tefillah se'erev ein lakeva. So we say Mariv, there's no set time for it. So my ein lakeva, what does it mean there's no set time? Listening to tefillah se'erev kol laila. If you're just trying to tell me that you could daven Mariv all night long, so say that. Say you could daven Mariv all night long. Elamai ein lakeva, commandam retilas arvis rishus. Ein lakeva means that it's rishus, that it's not really a chiyuv. As we saw, Tosos at the very beginning of the parak says, no, Rishus just means klape the other tefilos. It's not as great a chiyuv as the other tefilos, but still one is obligated to do it. Dam Rabbi Dam Shmuel, tefilos arvis from Gamliel and Rechav, Rabbi Shom Rishus. This machlokas from Gamliel says a chiyuv, Rabbi Shom says Rishus. As we pointed out yesterday, Rishonim already point out that this very much connects to whether the tefilos are connected the avos or connected the tamidim. If they're connected the avos, then why should arvis be any different? It shouldn't be Rishus, it should be a chava. If they're connected the karbana, well, good. The tefillah sarvis is only it's not its own carbon. It's the hektar chalav and vevarim. It's certainly on a lower level than the shachmas and mincha. Amar Abaye alach kedivri amar chovav amar alach kedivri amar rishus machlokes Abaye and Rava. How we paskin. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa, the Talmud Achshav of Nei Rabbi Shua, Amalei Tefilas Arvus Rishus or Chova. One time, a Talmud came to Rabbi Shua and he said, "I have a shailas. Tefilas Arvus Rishus or Chova? Amalei Rishus." He said, "It's Rishus." Both Nei Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei Tefilas Arvus Rishus or Chova. Then he went to Rabbi Gamliel and he said, "What are you paskin? Is Tefilas Arvus Rishus or Chova?" He was collecting the shitos. Amalei Chova. He said, "It's a Chova." Amalei Valo Rabbi Shua, Amalei Rishus. But Rabbi Shua said, "It's Rishus." So Amalei Hamtein Ashen Nitzu Bali Tris in the Beis Hamedrash. He said, "Wait till the shield bearers come into the Beis Medrash, the people who hold the shields." I mean, that's referring to the Talmud Chachamim. Rav Kook explained, it's not called the warriors, because the Talmud Chacham, when he fights with, when he argues with another Talmud Chacham, his point is not to knock down the other guy. His point is to protect the MS. So we'd have to use the terminology of protection. The shield bearers, wait till they come to the base of Medrash. Kishnutsun Bali Tresen Amar Ashol Vishol Tfilis Arv Shusul Chova. So the Bali Tresen came in, and they said, "No, is Tfilis Arv Shusul Chiyuv." Amar Gamliel Chova. So Gamliel reiterated his perspective, his point of view, that it's a chiyuv. Amalem Ramliel Chum Klum Yeshad Meshacholik B'Davrezeh. So Ramliel looked around and said, "Is there anyone that disagrees with me, the Nasi?" Amalei Rabbi Shua Lav. Rabbi Shua says, "No, I don't see anybody who disagrees with you." Amalei Valomi Shimcha Amalei Rishus. They told me in your name that you hold it's Rishus. Amalei Yeshua Amarol Raglech V'Yidubach. So he said, "Rabbi Shua, get up. We have to be made against you." Amalei Rabbi Shua Ragel V'Amarol Amalei Ani Chay V'Hu Meis Yachal Chay Lach Shes Meis. So Rabbi Shua said, "Look, if I was alive and the guy who was made about me was dead, it would be easy for me to deny that it happened. But problem is, Achshav Shani Chai V'Hu Chai, he's also alive. How could I deny the story? Very strange way of phrasing it. But how could I deny the story? So he put Rabbi Gamliel put Rabbi Shua through Bezirnis. Rabbi Gamliel continued to darshan, and he made Rabbi Shua stand there the whole time until everyone was saying, "What's going on over this? Crazy!" They told Chutzpah Satorgum, "You got to stop already." And he stopped. How long are we going to allow Rabbi Shua to be put in this kind of tzar, to be abused like this? So twice already, Rabbi Gamliel put him through Bezirnis. On the Rosh Hashanah, the story in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, when they argued about when Yom Kippur should be, and Rabbi Gamliel was gozer about Rabbi Shua that he has to carry his money and his walking stick on the day that he held his Yom Kippur, and then again the Maisan Rabbi Tzadik and Mesachs Becharos, where again he made him stand up and he was mevazeh him. How much can we take already? Hakinami tziarei. So they say, you know, we have to fire Rabbi Gamliel. The rest of the story of who they decided to take in his place, Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to tomorrow.